3172.
SMS Refilwe
on 31702.
And we have a message here, unfortunately don't have a name, asking, please let me know the name of the shop in Pretoria that sells African honey. Here is the name. It's called Native Norsi, and it is out in, it's at Greenland Village Centre in Menlo Park in Pretoria. That's Native Norsi, so native and Norsi is spelled Nosi. So nativenorsi.co.za. You can check them out online as well and check out their range of products. Thanks for listening.
Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702 for the curious.
Time now to catch up with parenting expert and human potential guru Nikki Bush. Good morning, Nikki. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Refilwe. I'm great. Thank you.
That is so very good to hear. Now, Nikki, today we're talking EQ and all in the name of helping bolster our children's mental health and, in fact, even our own as parents and wellness during lockdown and during these COVID-19 times. But tell me why you decided or chose to talk EQ today.
Well, I feel where in my book, Future Proof Your Child for the 2020s and Beyond, which is all about it's a parenting guide for disruptive times, one of the five key X factors for success for the future world of work for our children is knowing yourself really well and being able to be part of a team, whether that's an online team virtually or a real world team. We have to be able to work with others. And the key to emotional intelligence is if I know myself and I can manage myself, then I can know and manage you. And this is a really good summary of emotional intelligence. And it's a very important aspect of both leadership and parenting and getting on in the world with other people, because the world is made up of other people and not everybody is the same as you. We live with diversity, and diversity is important in order to bring different points of view to the table, to bring different personalities to the table, to bring different strengths to the table, to bring different perceptions and, just so much. It's important that we are able to manage ourselves when we are not with people who think the same as us.
And you know, and Nikki, what I'd like to also just press on and emphasize in our very specific environment in South Africa, where we're talking GBV, where we're talking high rates of violent crime as well, just the importance of raising a child who is emotionally intelligent, because that allows that self-regulation, right? So, I mean, we're talking about it. Nikki, in a professional environment. We're talking about it in an academic environment in terms of personal growth and attainment. But we really could stand to focus on this as guardians and as parents in order to raise human beings that are empathetic, human beings that aren't, quite frankly, dangerous and antisocial, but human beings also that are happy and that thrive.
Yes, and I think based on what you've just said, is that we need to raise children who are able to take responsibility for their actions and their feelings and are not reactive. Because what you've just touched on is the fact that if you're a highly reactive person, you may not actually be thinking about what you're saying or doing and the impact that it might have on other people and your own future. So let's talk about perhaps holding on to your own power and taking responsibility. And if you actually do any of the research on EQ, you'll find that EQ has far more bearing on success than IQ. And EQ is one of those things that you can keep raising. It takes time to develop EQ, but you can keep raising it throughout your life. And here's an example of what we're actually talking about here.
Sure.
If we're talking about taking responsibility for your feelings, taking control and framing your responses, so often when we're faced with a situation, people lash out and they'll say, "You make me so angry because." Instead of, "I am feeling so angry because."
Sure.
And listen to the phrasing. And say I am feeling so angry, I own my anger.
Mm-hmm.
It may be because you've done something, but I own the feeling, the response I'm having to what has just happened versus you, which is that one finger pointing at somebody or an issue. You make me sad. You make me angry. You make me this. And you've actually lost your power in that moment. You've given your power to the other person. So even if you're parenting and your child's really freaking you out and irritating you, this is a wonderful teachable moment to say, I am feeling so angry, or I am feeling sad because you haven't put in any effort to this project or assignment. I am feeling disappointed. Somebody else can't make you feel anything.
Sure.
And that's a key differentiator between being reactive and being proactive, between being emotionally and socially mature and being emotionally and socially immature.
Yeah.
And I think it's so interesting when we watch television, you get lots of teachable moments for your children there where you can say, you see that was a really emotionally mature approach. Well, you see that, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
Do you think that was appropriate? Do you think that was reactive? And then I think the other thing that's important, Rafilwe, is to help our children to expand their emotional vocabulary. And I'd like to share a resource. If our listeners want to go and find the emotion wheel or the feelings wheel,
mm-hmm.
just Google it, emotion wheel or feelings wheel.
And what does it do for them?
Well, what they'll see is that we go beyond sad, mad, glad, and being scared.
Mm-hmm.
There are literally hundreds of different feeling words. So, for example, under fearful, which is a key emotion,
mm-hmm.
you might have rejected. And for rejected, there are two other words, excluded or persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Insecure is also a fearful one. You could have, I'm feeling inadequate or I'm feeling inferior.
Mm-hmm.
And building our children's emotional vocabulary, getting them to be more specific about how they feel, is very much part of building EQ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opening up
your children to understanding and knowing, and opening up yourself to understanding and knowing that there's nuance to this world of emotion.
Yes.
There's this nuance to how you can express it as well. Not everything has to be an explosion. Not everything has to end up in tears, right?
Yes. Mm. I mean, I'm looking at the emotion wheel right now and looking at surprise, which is a lovely emotion.
Yeah.
It's a positive emotion. Well, it can be negative as well. So listen to surprise. The negative side could be startled. You're surprised. Mm-hmm. You're startled. And that could be shocked or dismayed. And then it says confused. Confused could be disillusioned or perplexed. If you're amazed, it could be astonished or in awe. And here's a really positive one for surprise. I'm excited.
Yeah,
and that could be I'm eager or I'm feeling energetic. You see such degrees of separation between just those four little positive emotions under surprise led to eight others. And I think that is an interesting way to talk to your children. And you know, children are quite lazy. You know, they actually mm-hmm. stick to as few words as possible, especially if they're not a words child.
Yeah. Like, how's your day? Fine.
Like, how's your day? Fine. Yes. Okay. So if you actually, as an adult, go and have a look at this emotion wheel, you might be able to pick up on a few more words that you might link to fine.
Yeah.
If you take fine as a positive, you could say, well, was it an exciting day? a stressed day?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you can leave. And isn't it funny? You know, we wish. It's a pity that developing EQ is not as easy as ordering a large portion of chips at the McDonald's drive-thru.
Absolutely. Tell me this, Nikki.
I have a double serving for little Johnny P.
Yeah, a double serving of EQ. I mean, this emotion wheel, by the way, it's lovely. I'm also checking it out online. And you get the simpler ones, but the incredibly nuanced. Some of them are just a universe of different words and phrases. But, you know, as a parent, how do you then model EQ? I mean, you've spoken about those teachable moments and how important language is, right? How we can utilize language in a damaging way or in a a healthy way. But how do you model EQ for your child on a consistent basis, especially, you know, during these times when, yeah, it's the computer, you're all trapped in these four walls, and sometimes you find yourself saying things or using certain phrases when admonishing or trying to, trying to get your child into line or to do the work they're meant to do, and you think, my goodness, that was not the best version of myself.
No, and I think we've all wanted to take back things we've said over the years, you know, you think, oh, it's out now and I can't take it back. Okay, so let's look at a few of the hints and tips here, because we need to understand that what we say to our children, the words we use, do definitely have are a shaping force in the development of their EQ. So your children must see how you express yourself and get your emotions under control, and how you moderate your reactions to situations. So that's where, you know how when you first became a parent, somebody said, before you react, count to 10. And the 8-8-8 breathing method is quite nice, where you breathe in slowly for 8, you hold for 8, and then you breathe out slowly for 8, and only then react. So if you're feeling really reactive, just breathe.
Sure.
And when you talk about your feelings, please label them. This is important. This is the way children will learn how to label their own feelings, by hearing you label your feelings. And I'm thinking right now during COVID and various stages of lockdown, children are observing us in our working situation, and they are hearing conversations. So if you have a heated conversation with somebody and they happen to have heard it, you need to be able to unpack that for them possibly afterwards. So yes, if you realize they've heard you, then you might have to give them the context for that conversation. Becoming an attentive listener is very important, because we were born with 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we should be listening twice as much as we speak. And that's quite a tough thing to get under control. And listening is the most underrated skill. I think we are often listening to respond. So when we listen, we're thinking about what we're going to say next to our children, rather than really listening to them. And there's nothing better than a good listener. I mean, our best friends are actually the best listeners, more often than not. They're listening not just to the words we're speaking, but to the words we don't say, to our fear that's, you know, just underneath the surface. They can read us, you know. And then showing your children how to frame problems as opportunities. That's a good one.
That's a lovely skill. That's a great skill.
Yeah, you know, reframing is just like being able to reauthor your life. So yes, you're feeling mad. Okay, let's drill down into that. What does that mean? And you know, how is that position you? And is it worth feeling like that? Can you give that away? I think at the moment there's so much fear we feel with, and so much of it is misplaced.
Sure.
You know, if you think about the hype of the mask and all that stuff versus the statistics. Yes, we need to take all the relevant precautions, but the chances of us getting ill, the chances of us dying are so tiny, actually. So giving children perspective is also part of managing emotions. And, you know, that going back to school, going back into a crowd, this thing of being fearful about being in a crowd, this is going to be a big thing for us moving forward. Being scared of other human beings.
I'm concerned,
you know, about that moving forward. Okay, there are a few more we need to get in here. And the other one is co-parenting consistently with your spouse, ex-spouse, step-parents and caregivers. Because this will result in respect instead of manipulation and power struggles. This is a hard one. I know this is a hard one. But if we as adults choose to be the adults, the emotionally intelligent people, we need to choose to keep a neutral space for our children and not use them as weapons against each other. And this, I know, you know, it's not a perfect world out there, but if you can give your children a gift of not being the bullet in the gun, you know, it's just so inappropriate. And you were saying earlier, you know, sometimes we say things that we wish we could take back. We are allowed to say sorry to our children when we've made a mistake or when we've lashed out verbally. It's a good example to them of you being self-aware.
Okay.
that you overstepped, that you actually were reactive, and that you can reframe it instead of, and you can say, I'm sorry, I told you, you made me angry. I am angry because. Mm-hmm. So you can turn it around and reframe it. And then also, an important one is allowing children to experience the consequences of their actions. You know, they may do things differently next time if they learn from their mistakes firsthand. And they may do things that make them mad sure. with themselves.
Yeah.
And how do they not get mad again is to do it differently. So those are important things in this journey towards building a strong EQ. And a child with a strong EQ can read situations better and become more confident about handling life and building a life and with optimism and happiness because
and problem solving
in control. You know, what do we own really at the end of the day? And I think we have mentioned this before on the show. We can't always control the external environment. All we can control is our emotional response to or our choice of how we respond to life, to what life brings us. And if we know we have that kind of control, I think it's worth giving our children a second serving of EQ every single day.
Lovely.
Because it's what's going to set them up for success in the future.
Lovely stuff. That talk really made me happy. Completely agree with you, 100%. So, of course, the toy feature, which I'm also excited about. What are we looking at today, Nikki?
Well, I thought we should look at a genre of toys called dominoes.
Sure.
And dominoes are a classic. You know, the traditional domino has got dots.
Yeah.
Those white dominoes divided in half. There's a single dot on one side and six dots on the other. And you've got to match the six dots to another domino with six dots, for mm-hmm. example. And you create these lines of matching dots. But dominoes now come in so many different beautifully illustrated shapes and forms. And if you just Google Jeco, D-J-E-C-O, one of my favorite educational toy brands.
I love their toys,
look at all the different kinds of dominoes that they offer. So there might be six teddy bears on one side of the domino and one dot, for example. So it's not just dots. It's not just numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so many beautiful versions. And children are learning matching skills, of course, and spatial planning
mm-hmm.
As they actually lay down the dominoes. And dominoes you can start playing with actually from a very, very early age, from around the age of three, because you can get picture dominoes. I'm looking at the Jeco Domino Friends right now,
yeah.
or the farm dominoes. So you can put the cow with the cow, or you can put the pig with the pig. And you create this almost like a little road. Children actually find a way to match the first person to go out.
Yeah.
Because you actually deal all the dominoes out to the players. You can play with two people, with four people. The more people you have, the fewer pieces you have. And you know what? If you don't have a matching piece, you skip a turn.
Okay.
You've got to wait until somebody else plays a piece. But it's a fantastic way of building up some of those pre-numeracy, pre-literacy skills with no major stress. And it's fun. And as I say, these dominoes are magnificently illustrated. They make beautiful gifts. They're beautifully packed. And there are just lots and lots of skills you can use. I remember playing on my own as a child when I had nobody to play with. You can play dominoes all by yourself.
Sure. So it's your younger version or pre-solitaire days, I guess, on the computer.
Yes. I hadn't thought of it like that, but absolutely.
Sure.
So go and have a look at dominoes as something that every child should have a set of dominoes.
Absolutely. Nice one. Thanks so much, Nikki. We're going to touch base again next Saturday.
Great pleasure. Take care.
I will do. You keep well. Until then, that's Nikki Bush, human potential and parenting expert, joining us there on the line talking developing your child's EQ.